5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Gentle Bend Tasting Room in Alvin. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are officially less than a week away from the 2024 NBA Draft. It tips off Wednesday the 26th at 7, with the Houston Rockets, as things currently stand, third in the draft order. Supposedly, they're still thinking about going after someone like Donovan Mitchell, but it sounds like he's going to sign an extension to stay in Cleveland. And we're still not 100% sure how they feel about Jalen Green. The national perception about what's going on with him seems to be a mixed one. No one's really sure if Ime Udoka has fully bought in. And we also heard that there was a trade proposal from the Pelicans. They wanted to send Brandon Ingram here for Alperen Şengün. The Rockets said hell no to that.
But good.
Joe, I saw a really interesting quote in Kelly Eco's draft notebook, and I wanted to get your feel, how you react to it. There's a growing sense, writes Kelly, among rival teams that the Rockets are in a unique position of strength. A combination of owning the number three pick, its increasing league-wide interest, and the potential domino effect across the rest of the draft lottery.
Yeah, I mean, for a draft that has, like, the two big names here that Kelly focuses on are Donovan Klingon and then Reed Shepard.
UConn's Donovan Klingon is 7'2". He's their center. And Reed Shepard is a 6'1" shooter out of Kentucky.
Yeah, so both those guys feel like they could be good fits. The two French kids, Sar, and I can't remember the other one's name, were early on projected to be the first two picks in this draft. But it does seem like it's a very mid-draft, I would say. Like there's going to be good players in it. We just don't – it's not – there's no Wemby. You know, there's no Kay Cunningham. There's no, you know, Paolo Banchero. Like, even that guy at the top of the draft. Hell, there's no Jabari Smith and Jalen Green in this draft, it seems like. So, I do think they are in a unique position because they can take a prospect in which they really like, and if it's Klingon or Reed Shepard, you know, the DNA of the player seems to fit this roster really well, whether that's a shooter who can play a little bit defense and Shepard, or Klingon who can be a defensive, you know, monster, good rebounder. They need that, too. Like, I know they have Steven Adams, but he hasn't even played a game here yet. Like I'd rather go Young than Adams, to be honest. So you have that. You can move that pick and stay in the top 10, which is what a lot of people think they could do, and just move back and get a player who is going to just kind of – he's going to play in the G League for the most part for you, I'd imagine. He's not going to be a Rocket really next year. Or you could try to do something really big. Like, they have a ton of options. I can't believe how quiet it's been. Like, I thought we'd see some NBA action as soon as the finals were over, bigger rumors, and we're just not really seeing a lot of that right now.
And I think that's why this article comes out, and Kelly writes this. I'm sure somebody wants Kelly to put this out there. There's a growing sense among rival teams that the Rockets are in a unique position of strength, to the point where I wonder if Rafael Stone even told Kelly that. But, okay, you could get Donovan Klingon from UConn. You could get Reed Shepard from Kentucky. You can get one of these French guys that you were mentioning. Zachary Risacher, Alex Sarr, who are both supposedly candidates to go first overall. But I feel like the more likely scenario is going to be something like this, also in Kelly's write-up. Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka are fans of veteran guard Marcus Smart. Is there a possibility Memphis could entice Houston by offering Smart, in addition to the number 9 pick and future assets, to move up and draft Donovan Klingon if he isn't already gone? Because Klingon's the one that all of a sudden there's a lot more interest in.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'll tell you this.
Paul, you tell me. Like, you've watched Marcus Smart play a lot of basketball games.
He's fun. I mean, you'll like watching him out there, but is he going to make the Rockets significantly better from last year? No.
I mean, they're going to have the best defense in the NBA if he's on the team.
They will have the most annoying team in the NBA.
Who's going to score?
Personally, I would love to watch the Rockets become the most annoying team in the NBA. It'll be such a great change from being the most, I felt like, unmanly team in the NBA with the flopping and the lack of defense that James Harden played and his lack of honor with his all his gamesmanship and deceptive tactics and his terrible three-point shooting when it all comes down to it, given the volume that he shot with. You shouldn't shoot 18 shots in a game if you're only going to hit one. But I like that there's a possibility they go in this direction. I would also say this is not the direction a franchise should go in.
No, I mean, like
it's watchable for people who want World War One style basketball myself. I mean, I want to bring back the 90s. I want to see guys clotheslining each other and smashing each other because guess what? I like a little football in my basketball. You want to have a winning team? Hey, this team will be annoying as hell, but do you want to become the second iteration of the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies? Because that's exactly what you would be doing by bringing in Marcus Smart, an ex-Grizzly, and you already have Dylan Brooks. And ex-Grizzly.
And you're Steven Adams.
Correct.
I mean, look, we talked about Rockets Fight Club last year. There was, like, every day it felt like there was a fight in every game they played. And, yes, the idea, like, defensively for a guy like Udoka, I'm sure he's salivating at the idea of putting Marcus Smart, Dylan Brooks.
I mean, I am too,
and Steven Adams on the court at one time with, I guess, like, Jalen Green and Alpi. And that's what you're doing? Like, you're running – okay, Jalen and Alpi, you're taking all the shots. Everyone else, you're just playing defense for at least some possessions. It's not the worst idea in the world, but I don't think it's – it gets you the sixth seed is what it does.
If that. Yeah.
And probably not out of the first round.
I think it gets you in the play-in tournament. It would make me so happy, but you should not go this way. There's two things I don't want them to do. I don't think a Marcus Smart trade would make a lot of sense unless they think that there's somebody that is in that 9 through 15 range that would actually have the kind of upside of a Jaylen Brown or something like that. But again, who actually knows that? You know, Danny Ainge was considered crazy by many when he, with Boston at the time, took Jaylen Brown out of Cal. 8th overall. Here's the other thing I don't want. I do not want Reed Shepard.
Really? Shepard.
I don't. Yeah, he's 6'1".
I think that's unfair, Paul.
This is 5'6", Joe George.
No, it's not. No, he's listed at 6'3" at Kentucky.
Yeah, okay.
If he entered the draft 3 years ago, they would measure him at 6'3" right now. But they stopped measuring guys in shoes randomly. So there are a lot of guys in the NBA who are also 6'1". We just don't view them that way. And their statistics on NBA.com, you know, their profile doesn't match.
Is he wearing platforms? Sneakers give you 2 feet? Or two inches?
I think he give you about an inch and a half.
Really?
And that depends on which Jordans you're wearing.
What is this? Are these DeSantis sneakers?
I think they also, like, before were, like, giving everyone a little bit extra at the combine.
No, he's 6'1". I don't care how good of a shooter he is. I think Jimmer Fredette was taller than that, right? I mean, I want a guy that actually athletically is special, and if he is 6'1", no matter what this crazy shoe take that you're talking
about.
It's
not just the fact.
This sounds crazy. 2 inches? These sneakers add 2 inches to height? Two.
I mean,
I could add maybe half an inch, I would believe. Two?
Okay, maybe. He's listed at 6'3" at Kentucky.
Okay.
So I guess we mean. So
yes. All these athletic programs are just like me on my license. I'm 6 feet tall. I lied.
By how much? How much of a lie?
Half an inch. But I lied.
That's not too bad.
Someone once told me I was 6 feet tall, but as soon as someone told me that I was 6 feet
tall,
I forever became 6 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was 5.
It was an official measurement.
5'9".
You were 5'9".
Like, according to my high school football height and weight.
Wow.
I was 5'9".
My high school football program lied and made me shorter than I was.
Yeah, they made me tall.
Angry. They made me angry. You know, my high school football program said I was 5'9". That was erroneous in all accounts.
I mean, I like Shepard.
I would have gone and played at Alabama if it said I was 6 feet tall like I really was in my mind.
I think they need a shooter. So I think Shepard would make a lot of sense here personally. I get why. Like, he is short, but it's –
Someone is arguing the same argument as you, EDF1919, on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. Basketball shoes need some cushion. They give you about 1.5 to 2 inches. All right, well, maybe,
hey, look.
Maybe I'm also guilty of looking at Reed Shepard and thinking to myself, yeah, that guy's not athletic.
Hey, maybe it's racist, Paul.
It might be a little bit of white-on-white crime.
Yeah.
There. But I'm sorry. No, I don't want him.
I'm open to the idea.
If they take anybody, I want them to take the tall guy from UConn. Donovan Clingan.
I really didn't think they were going to use the pick at all. I mean, based on, like, this draft is weak, but the two French kids, so Sarr, the other one, Shepard and Clingan, that does seem to be the consensus top four. I would rather than take one of those guys than move back and then acquire Marcus Smart with it. Just hard pass. I don't want a guy like that. They need scores. They need guys who can consistently shoot the basketball.
They do
he
need
does
that.
Not do that.
I'm not going to lie though. If they traded for Marcus Smart, like, while I would not endorse it as a good basketball move, I will love.
Are
this
you buying
team
the jersey?
So much. Marcus Smart, dude.
A Marcus Smart jersey.
A Marcus Smart jersey. I might buy a Marcus Smart jersey. I don't know if I'm going to buy a jersey. They need to change their look too. I think their uniforms are crap right now. They got to go back to what they had in the mid '90s. You won two titles back to back, and you change your uniforms. And by the way, at least those uniforms that they changed into were better than the melting communism atrocities that they did to pander to China when they brought in Yao Ming.
Fact.
Don't even try to tell me it was anything other than that. Their jerseys became melting communism. It was just red and white. Come on,
Paul. Their City Connect jerseys had Chinese letters on them.
I don't even mind that.
I do. It's a City Connect. Houston.
We're connected to the southwest side of Houston.
Yeah.
Where the greater Chinatown is. Some really good food there.
There is some actually great food.
It's great.
It's so good.
You know, a long time ago, and shout out to our partners, the Houston Sabercats, but a long time ago, I tried out for the Houston Sabercats on a dare from the show I was on at the flagship. It was Mike and Seth. They said, yeah, you should try out. And I did try out for the Houston Sabercats after a night of a pub crawl in Chinatown, and I had a lot of Asian drinks.
I kind
of
want to do
sake, soju. Well, do you want to try out for a rugby team the next day?
No, I kind of want to do a social video where we do a tryout for the Sabercats. I want Jeremy to come with us, too. Since he is speaking for the Sabercats, I feel like
they're too good to do open tryouts now, though. I mean,
yeah,
a couple of years ago, they
were.
But
it's just like the meet, like, you know, like.
Listen, you've played it. I have no idea what's going on.
I
went
to a media rugby game. That way we could tackle people from the other stations.
You just want to tackle people from the other stations, though. You've brought this up before.
You don't?
I don't really care that much. No, there's no one I really want to hit or
That's
hurt.
Like, I just think it'd be fun.
I know I'm a better athlete than everybody in sports media in this city, so that's not an ex-athlete.
All right, let me text DJ. Okay, that's a good caveat Paul.
Yeah.
That's a good caveat.
Whoever peaked in high school, I will kick your ass. Yeah, and the only challenger was Raheel. Raheel's not officially in Houston sports media anymore.
That's a good point.
Though he does do a podcast now. Shout out to Raheel. All right, it is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. We are hanging out at Gentleman Tasting Room as the Houston Astros take a 1-0 lead.
Welcome back, Jordan.
Jordan Alvarez back from his family issues. Hopefully everything's good on that front, and at the plate it's definitely good. So looks like the Astros are well on their way, literally three batters in, to another victory before their big weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles. Guess what, guys? We've got another incredibly stupid WNBA scandal and an alternative women's basketball league that will make you laugh very hard. Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Golan and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Gentle Bend Tasting Room in Alvin.
So, WNBA discourse, it's not great. Generally, any conversation about it just lends itself to a culture war.
Uh-huh.
Some people are sick of Caitlin Clark. Other people feel like Caitlin Clark needs to be defended every single time she gets a little bit of contact.
Yes.
You know, if I was a fan of a WNBA team that had a Marcus Smart-esque player, which apparently they all do, or a Dylan Brooks-esque player, which also apparently they all do. It's a very physical league.
It is.
I'd probably be hook, line, and sinker four. That's the kind of Houston comments I want to have back in town. But instead of talking about Caitlin Clark actually all of a sudden winning three games in a row, playing very well in those three games, the discourse has nothing to do online with actual basketball. Because today, Joe, this is peak dumb WNBA stories. Cameron Brink, another rookie from Stanford in the WNBA. Honestly, she looks like a supermodel. So she's got her own fan base in the WNBA. She tore her ACL yesterday. And a post made by Angel Reese showing compassion for Cameron Brink's injury. Quote, prayers for my sweet girl, at Cameron Brink 22, prayer emoji, led to tons of people dumping on Angel Reese online saying, Caitlin owns you. Why do you have such hate towards Caitlin Clark? Stop your selective compassion. You wouldn't say that if it was Caitlin Clark. If Caitlin got hurt, you would post a celebration tweet. I bet if it was Caitlin, you'd be rejoicing. Everyone is coming after her because they are saying something that is not actually happening right now. If Caitlin Clark got hurt, you wouldn't be nice to her. I mean, this is the WNBA, and it's the catty and stupid stuff that is making the headlines every single time.
I know, and the fans like about this are just so soft. Like even like the idea that you need to tweet at someone because they're like wishing condolences to someone that they like, versus someone that's also not hurt and that they clearly don't like. So you're making assumptions that you don't know. And it's just, it's so stupid. Like, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark have history in college. They played for a national championship. They played in March Madness last year. They are 1-1 in those big games. They're rivals in that sense. It's just so stupid. I'd imagine this is a little bit of what, like, LeBron's Twitter mentions look like anytime he tweets something just about anything in life.
What about China?
That's what the WNBA.
Which, to be fair, good point. But
yeah, 100% fair point. Like, how does Nike make their shoes?
You're like, telling Daryl Morey to shut up. Like, what's?
But like
on,
everything
dude.
In the WNBA, and this is why, like, to me, the conversations like gotten like a little exhausting. Is everyone's trying to turn everything into a whataboutism?
I know,
and
God.
It's just like
that's why Twitter's terrible.
And somehow, like, it's just it's converted to like the as you call them, speak for your pizza shows, where everything is just like a referendum on every single moment that happens. Even Doris Burke's tweets during the finals about like, what if this happened to Caitlin Clark when Jason Tatum got fell on or whatever, or Derek White got fell on. And it's just like, guys,
poor Derek White's teeth.
It's just a sport. It's okay. Like, it's all going to be okay. I do. I mean, I find the tweets funny. Like, I would be annoyed if I was Angel Reese. But, like, everything is just turning into a huge whataboutism. I just don't really get it.
It's funny, though. I mean, it is. I like the car crash nature of it. I actually do hope that these ladies end up earning more money to play this sport. It actually does seem to be. I know there's no dunks and stuff, but I enjoy the physicality of the WNBA. I think the NBA honestly needs some. I think it's become a very soft league with lots of flopping and guys using gamesmanship to get foul calls. Luka Doncic, the biggest example of that in the NBA Finals, legitimately costing his team a game. But, guys, there's another women's basketball
another
league. This is one of the funniest things that I've ever seen. I can't believe that this actually was greenlit. So there's another league. It's called the NBA. Do you know what that stands for, Joe? Because this is not the National Basketball Association.
Then, no, I do not.
It stands for Nuttin' But As, spelled N-U-T-T-I-N, apostrophe.
I've seen these videos
space
on Twitter.
B-U-T, space A-Z-Z. It's a basketball tournament. This basketball tournament features New Jersey baddies, if you will.
Okay.
With girls with large tuchuses playing basketball in thongs.
Okay.
The top four teams in the competition would be awarded $10,000. Tickets range from $50 for standing room only, $100 for VIP seating, $500 for floor seats. There's videos of this online. And they had an event scheduled in Newark, New Jersey at Westside High School. This thing was about to happen until the actual high school found out that, again, a league called Nuttin' But As was going to host a game at a high school.
Like, do you think like when they agreed to this, they thought like the actual like NBA was coming to their high school, and they just didn't look into it at all?
I'm sure that was the case. I mean, if you saw that Nuttin' But As was hosting an event at your high school, you would shut
but
that thing
just
down right away.
Just NBA.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like the Brooklyn Nets are coming to town.
They apparently actually told the high school it was a community basketball event. But then the league, as Paul pointed out, put out a promotional video, which the high school then saw and canceled the event.
Ruined it for everybody. There's all that seeking clout. Yeah, it was
soft boys.
It was a community event. It was New Jersey Baddies. No, it's not soft boys. I mean, it's a high school. I think they made the right decision here.
I think they did, too.
But my God, guys. I mean, what are we doing here?
Man,
what are we doing where Nuttin' But As is an actual thing?
It's like the guys who, like,
how horny are you if you want the Nuttin'
well,
But As?
I would imagine the people who pay, like, how much was the VIP tickets? $500
for courtside, $100 for VIP.
I would imagine the James Hardens of the world are the ones paying for those VIP tickets. The ones who go to certain establishments and have their jerseys hanging in the rafters. But the average day Joe, I would say. Like the average day James.
I just think going to this game and spending that amount of money for this game is... It is such an open admission of your horniness.
100%.
And I mean,
100%.
I know all men have been there from time to time.
No, like, what do you tell, like
but
like,
come on.
Like, what would I tell my wife?
I don't know, man.
I'm going to a basketball game?
Yeah, you get a press pass. I'm going to an NBA game tonight.
Yeah,
I mean, it would technically be true.
That's true. It's not a full lie.
It's
a white lie.
It's more than a white lie, I think.
Yeah,
it is way more than maybe. Come on, it's way more than a white line at that point. All right, it's Kalana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Is Nuttin' But As challenging the WNBA? We'll discuss that next. No, I'm kidding. Up next, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We are 77 days away. You probably think that there isn't going to be a fun number 77 on the other side. Nope, it is the greatest nickname in sports history as we continue that countdown. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You go to MyBookie.ag, you enter promo code BET975, and guess what? You're going to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000. What you deposit in, MyBookie.ag is going to match it. As long as you use that promo code, you can bet on anything right away, whether it's blackjack and poker with live dealers or the sports. A lot of sporting events going on right now. Sure, the NBA is done. But, I mean, don't you want to perhaps put a little action on Stanley Cup Finals game number 6 between the Panthers and the Oilers? The Oilers are 1.5 point favorites over Florida. I mean, you saw Edmonton. They were down 3-0. If you watch hockey at all, they've won the last two games. Connor McDavid, maybe the best player in hockey. Hockey is crazy. Stanley Cup hockey, very, very fun. MyBookie.ag, you can bet on hockey. You can bet on baseball as well. Maybe taking a look at the Astros series coming up against the Baltimore Orioles, and you're feeling the Astros are going to ride this high right now. Hey, they're beating the White Sox right now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
77 days away. You're probably thinking to yourself, Paul, there's no way you're going to come up with a good 77, right? It's going to be some offensive linemen like Willie Roaf. Shout out to all the Saints fans out there. But no, this guy is the greatest nickname in sports history.
Okay.
Number 77 in your programs, number one in your hearts when it comes to greatest sports nicknames ever. Red Grange, also known as the Galloping Ghost.
I don't know this one, Paul.
You've never heard of the Galloping Ghost?
No, I have not.
Sean, we even have some audio of the Galloping Ghost talking about like why football's the best. If we could play that, that'd be splendorific.
There's a lot of things you can learn out on a football field. You learn how to take a good licking and not cry about it, and you learn how to hand one out and not go around bragging about it.
Hell yeah, that
Where
even rhymes.
Find this nonsense.
Oh, this nonsense. How have you never heard of Red Grange?
No, I guess I'm just ill-informed.
Harold Edward Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. He was also known as the Wheaton Iceman. How do you not know about a guy who played for your Chicago Bears, you fraud? You are such a fraud. You should just abandon the Bears right now for not knowing that Red Grange played for the Chicago Bears in 1925. He also played for the New York Yankees of the NFL 1926.
He was a fighting Illini.
And yeah, man.
He went to Wheaton High School. That wasn't too far from me.
NFL champion in 1932, 1933.
He was also name checked in Madden 2005, back when they used to do the Tony Bruno show during the Minions. Some of the callers would play a trivia game, and the answer was Red Grange.
Red Grange.
Yeah. He's heard that a lot.
He's the Galloping Ghost. This poem was written about the Galloping Ghost by Grant LaRice. A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal. His name, Red Grange of Illinois.
Best number 77 in Texans history. Go.
That's a good question. Charlie Heck. I'm trying to
He's
think
not
of
on
77.
There. Let's see. Here we go. We
hit
got,
me. Hit me.
David Questenberry.
Oh, hell yeah. He beat cancer.
George Fant. He was on the team.
Yeah, George Fant. I played once in a game of NBA 2K in Seattle.
Charles Spencer.
Yeah.
Ryan Denny.
Yeah.
Chris Clark.
Shout out. Oh, Chris Clark. Shout out to him.
Todd Washington.
That's the list.
I don't know any of them. I know like two of these people.
How dare you disparage the great Galloping Ghost with your side tangent about the Houston Texans, this newfangled football team. Back in the 1930s, we never thought that football would make it all the way down to Houston. We never thought that. Anyway, here we are. It is our countdown to the start of the NFL season. Sorry for my 1930s voice.
It's okay.
Billionaire owners, get this, are looking for a form of, it seems, socialism and or communism. They want a separate quarterback salary cap per the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. I don't like this. It's a team game, and yes, you're paying a lot for quarterbacks these days, but a separate salary cap for quarterbacks is 100% going to lead to, I would imagine, the teams that have the most money being able to keep the best quarterbacks. Like, this would, I think, make you slowly go away from the salary cap, which I do think maintains competitive balance better than any other league that there is.
I wonder what the trickle down of this would be, because what is CJ Stroud getting when he hits free agency then? He's already projected right now, based on where the cap is heading, to get $80 million a year, some people are saying.
Yeah. Terrible, stupid on Twitter accounts, yes.
No, but that's like actual, like, I mean, the guys are getting 55 now, and the gambling money hasn't come in yet. The Netflix deal just happened. He'll get close to 65, 70 at least.
Maybe not.
I think so. I mean, because the cap's just going to keep going up, as they say.
It will probably keep going up, and, you know, inflation.
But then, like, what does CJ get if he's just able to be an open market quarterback? $100 million a year? Like, a lot of these owners can't pay that.
If I agree with you on that front, and on top of that, like, it's if you do this, you are going to give the teams that have quarterbacks a tremendous advantage. If there's a salary cap for the quarterbacks, you're going to make it so they can pay less for their quarterbacks. No. a team having less on its roster because it has a great quarterback is the only way that the teams that don't have quarterbacks could potentially beat them in a meaningful game. And it's already an uphill battle as it is. I hate this idea. I think NFL owners very often have bad ideas, and yet their league continues to get more and more money and grow and grow and grow.
Because I don't think you can't just start there. I think you have to go back to the draft and change the way you draft quarterbacks. I think you have to go back to Sam Bradford and be able to pay these rookies right away.
Well,
or give them a different, like, I don't know, like, it just...
I don't like that because, I mean, some of these guys got more money than they ever deserved.
100%.
So, I think that in a team sport, you also should be making good for the entirety of every single team. And I know that sounds a little communist on my front, but I don't like that owners are thinking about this because they hate the contracts that are being given out to quarterbacks that don't necessarily deserve big time contracts like this.
Yeah, but then I think a lot of the owners there will be. I don't think this will ever get passed. I don't. I don't think this will happen.
We'll see. I mean, when they start floating this stuff, they generally get a little bit more headway in the next couple of years. So we'll see. Okay. I mean, if Tom Pelissero is putting this out there, multiple owners are talking about this. And I'm sure multiple owners 100%. Are looking at this contract that Trevor Lawrence got. And they're like, are you effing kidding me? Jared Goff, what he got? That's what they're thinking. And they're probably all thinking, I don't want to find myself in this situation where I'm so scared of the unknown that I'm going to give a quarterback that I don't really believe in all the way. Like Tua right now.
Yeah.
This kind of a deal.
I do get that side of why they're thinking it, but I would ask to the owners, you know, how does an owner, for example, like Cal McNair, who this is not his money, and his only real income is the Houston Texans, how does he afford to give C.J. Stroud a $90 million contract, plus have the salary cap on top of that, the salary? Because I'm assuming that they wouldn't get rid of the salary, like they're not taking... you can't just drop the salary cap $100 million and say, okay, now everyone else is down here and the quarterbacks are separate. My guess is the NFL salary cap would stay the same and there would be a separate salary cap for quarterbacks.
The more we explain this on the air, I'm sure the more confusing it sounds to the people listening. Whatever happens, putting a ceiling on what a quarterback can make is just going to make it, and that's what they're looking for, I think, here. It's just going to make it very advantageous for the teams that stumble their way into a quarterback.
100%.
Now you don't have to pay this guy that kind of a money. And if you have a good quarterback, okay, like, so every quarterback in the league is going to start making the same amount of money. That's also ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all. This is.
I know the NBA does this to a degree, right? You got the max contracts and stuff, but and maybe that's sort of what they're thinking here, Joe. But I feel that doing this is going to give the Chiefs of the world, like, even more of a leg up on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for the league to do that. Like, if you said, if you were to go, like, max contract and set for each position group, that I understand. Kind of expand the way they do the franchise tag into all contracts. Don't agree with it, but I understand it. But it's the signal out to one position, I think, is extreme.
Frank Reich, not David Tepper, is apparently the reason that C.J. Stroud is a Houston Texan. Scott Fowler, who covers the Carolina Panthers, I believe for the Charlotte Observer, on a Panthers podcast, had this to say, quote, I will tell you that Frank Reich was locked in on Bryce, and people who say no, he wanted C.J. Stroud, and Tepper forced him on him, that's not true. So we finally get a measure of vengeance against Frank Reich for 1993. Karma.
I don't know if I buy this. I'm going to be honest.
You don't buy it?
The whole season, it was Tepper wanted Bryce. Tepper wanted Bryce. I go back to the Josh McCown video where he tells C.J. Stroud, get ready to play basketball or whatever it is, giving indication that the Panthers want C.J. Stroud. To me, this feels like owner covering his own ass and trying not to
This conversation does stem from comments David Tepper made that smell a little bit like someone trying to cover his ass. But it is interesting that we just gave Frank Reich and Josh McCown the benefit of the doubt on this front.
That's true.
Largely due to an owner in Dave Tepper who is completely unlikable and seems to be very meddlesome. It was very believable. There's always two sides to every single story. And yeah, with David Tepper, of course, he wants his side to be the right one. But I feel like reporters actually confirming this, specifically Fowler, who supposedly has an agenda with an axe to grind with David Tepper, which he actually outlined on this podcast. I didn't hear that part of it. It's very interesting that he actually would be somewhat defending Tepper here,
yeah,
and laying the blame at the feet of Frank Reich.
Whoever it was, thank you. That's all we have to say.
Yeah, that's really
thank
all
you,
we got.
Thank you for your service of taking Bryce Young.
Yes. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. 77 days away from the start of the NFL season. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston or at twitch.tv/ESPN975. Joe's on Twitter at Joe George Radio. I'm on Twitter at Gallant Says. Speaking of Twitter, we saw an all-time story about how one woman secured the love of a recent Super Bowl champion quarterback. And my word, it does have me wondering just how loyal they are out there. Me, 35 years old, still looking for that significant someone to tie the knot with. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll tell you that story after this. First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina in downtown Houston, where you can get a 975. Hey, that sounds like a radio station. Tall Texan margarita, in addition to all sorts of delicious drinks. Shout out to my friend Gray behind the bar, always making great drinks. Shout out to all the amazing chefs who work there. I mean, they put a ton of work into their menu, which isn't your traditional Tex-Mex menu. And, of course, they got all the old reliables. Salsa verde. I think it's the best salsa verde in the city. Really good fajitas. The chicken fajitas in particular are the best I've had in town. But also, I mean, wood-fired oysters. Oh, my goodness gracious. If you've had them before, you know what I'm talking about. You should try them out. Maybe you're heading to one of the games this weekend where Houston welcomes those bad boys from Baltimore to town. You can stop by, get yourself a drink before you go into the stadium, or before a soccer game, or before a basketball game. It's a great place to stop. Maybe you work in downtown Houston. You're looking for a place to grab lunch. You want to impress the boss. You want to take everybody out on a happy hour. Or you're looking for a date. The Highway Cantina. It's my favorite place in Houston, guys, for food, for drinks. It's the Highway Cantina. Tell them Paul Gallant from ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Gentle Bend Tasting Room in Alvin.
Matt Stafford won a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams 3 years ago. They beat Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. His wife, Kelly Stafford, is a prominent podcaster now.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, she was on a podcast called Off the Vine. And on this podcast, she shared the story of how she was able to get Matt Stafford to be her man. And I gotta say, this sounds a little bit toxic for an origin story.
Wait, so was he trying to casually date and you were all
in? Oh, yeah, girl.
Anyways, long story short, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him. I loved him. I dated the backup to piss him off, which worked.
Oh, yes. He was like, that'll do it.
He was the bad boy, too. Like, Matthew's so sweet and southern gentleman and all that stuff. And the backup was the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, and it upset him. So they lived in the same dorm because athletes lived in the same dorm, and he would see my car there. And so at one point, he, like, waited and followed me out and got in my car and wouldn't get out.
Oh.
And he was
like, this is so hot.
I was like, this is amazing. It's working.
Yeah.
I was get out of my car and he was like, he's not right for you. And I was like, what? You can't tell me that.
Okay. So if I'm doing this correctly, and I looked it up, the backup quarterback for Matthew Stafford back in 2008 and 2009 is Ole Miss tight ends coach Joe Cox. He was the backup quarterback for Matt Stafford at the very least in 2008. So
coached under Bill O'Brien last year at Alabama.
Did not know that. Interesting. So if he was the backup for Matt Stafford, that would suck to hear that Kelly Stafford was using you to make Matt love you. Kelly Stafford was using you to make Matt love her. It's pretty weird if you guys were sharing the same dorm. Did she mean dorm room?
I think,
or dormitory building?
I think like building. Like
I would hope it's building.
Same floor.
Because, wow.
Here's the thing. I think
going across from one side of the room to the other.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little aware that this is happening. Also, if you're Mr. Joe Cox. Because if not, you're just an idiot. But the way Kelly talks about it now, it sounds like he was probably aware of what was really going on here. That he was there to make Matthew jealous.
Apparently she did this while they were on a break. And as you heard from her there, it was done, perhaps, to piss him off. And I'm looking for confirmation. Apparently, in an interview, Kelly Stafford went into more detail and clarified the man was not Joe Cox, and she would not name the athlete in question. So is there another backup quarterback here? Because here's the thing. If you say it's a backup quarterback, I mean, you're not really narrowing it down that much, are you?
No, because you could have quite a few quarterbacks on this roster. So let's see. We got Joe Toreshinsky.
Oh, wow, you really know that pronunciation.
He was a senior. Yeah. Matthew Stafford's freshman year. So that's another option. Joe Cox on the roster at the same time. Let's go to 2077. Jesus Christ.
We're doing some internet sleuthing.
Yeah, we are. Still only Joe Cox on the roster here, as listed as the backup quarterback. So
I mean, unless there's a walk-on or a practice squad guy. Or
most colleges have more than two or three quarterbacks.
That's what
on
I would think,
roster.
Especially Georgia. I mean, usually these teams, maybe they don't dress 100 players, but there's usually 100 players or so on the roster.
Something called the Logan Gray, his junior year before
Logan
he,
Gray.
You know? But, you know, who knows? Maybe it wasn't she said quarterback, but maybe she fibbed a little bit. You know, A.J. Green's on this roster his last year.
Ooh.
No Sean Moreno.
I mean, I feel
I
like
– love no Sean Moreno.
I feel like that would have created a lot of issues for the 2008 Georgia Bulldogs.
That's probably true. Well, I mean, she's with this backup.
To try to get him mad.
It worked.
Clearly it worked. And, hey, listen, Doug.
I mean, they went 6-2, you know, in the SEC his last year there.
It's a good story. Would you want your significant other telling stories about what they did publicly? I actually wouldn't really mind it. I'm all for a good story here. But I say that now as someone who hasn't experienced somebody that I dated talking about dating me on a podcast.
I mean, I don't even know like if I would want what happened last year with Kelly and Matt Stafford, where she went on her podcast and said Matt was having a hard time connecting with like the rookies on the roster.
Yeah, she talks a lot.
Like,
and doesn't always put Matt in the best spot. And she was getting
he
was getting a ton of questions asked about that.
And he's going to get questions about this.
No doubt.
So,
the LA media, they know they don't really care about football, but you give them a little gossip, a little TMZ action. Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want my wife to tell these stories.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I don't think anyone does. I will say it now because as someone who likes good content, I like good content.
Yes, I do appreciate that.
But at the same time, especially with it being so far in the past, maybe that's why it's a little bit easier for that to come out.
Yeah, but even then, like I don't know, like the first time we went to La Berge, it was just me, Mapes, and then my wife was there. Dana was there. And like I don't know if I wanted Dana sharing stories about my first stint at Gal and then Sean – having those to hold over my head or to try to tell on the air.
Was she telling
No,
some
she
stories?
Wasn't really, but I just don't
what
know.
What did you do that you were so nervous about being shared?
I mean, I got fired.
Welcome to radio.
That's
who hasn't
true.
That happened to?
But like, I don't know. I just don't know if I want, you know, I want to tell the stories. I want to be in control of the narrative.
You're like David Tepper here, huh?
Well, I mean, Matt Stafford probably doesn't want this story out.
I would think not.
He also followed her to his car. or to her car and wouldn't leave. That does not sound like a great story also.
Well,
like it works because they're married, but if they get divorced, people are going to view that story very differently.
There's a thin line between persistence and creepiness.
Yeah. Fact. And he clearly, in her mind, didn't cross it. I mean, for her, it sounds like it was a turn-on to be a creep.
That is a toxic relationship that turned into true love. We wish them well, Matt Stafford and Kelly Stafford. It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I just saw an interesting story, and my God, we got to stop with this. We got to stop expanding playoffs. The NCAA has presented a plan to Division I conference commissioners that would expand the men's and women's basketball tournaments by 4 or 8 teams, alongside an option to leave each field at 68 teams. What are we doing? Do we really need more playoffs in every single sport? I don't know what's going on here. Why'd you take your headset off?
Honestly,
there?
I thought you were going to break. I wasn't looking at the clock. I'm an idiot.
I was like, oh, damn. I'm sorry. We've gone too far for Joe George talking about NCAA tournament expansion.
No, my bad. My B, Paul. it's just stupid. This has been floated around. The number's not terrible compared to what we've heard in the past, because there's been some floating of like 80 teams potentially qualifying. But what we're asking for, I can't remember who I saw tweet this, but basically what you're saying now by expanding this way is Jay Wright, Charles Barkley, next year if this happens, are going to be on television saying why 6-12 Georgia in the SEC deserves to make the tournament. Like, that's basically what we're doing.
It does get to a point where, yeah, every single team that's generally a power – say Syracuse. Syracuse might get in with this. And honestly, as somebody who's been watching them the last couple of years, they don't deserve to get in. It's been rough. It's been ugly. It's been gross. And they got in the tournament a couple of times where they made the Final Four where they probably didn't deserve to make it in. I suppose more basketball is good. But I just hate that we're expanding all playoffs. I think the NFL was perfect with 12. I thought baseball was perfect with, at the time, 8. And now, in professional sports, you are basically giving owners a get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to whether or not teams are actually trying to contend. In college sports, I suppose, I mean, listen, it's just more March Madness, and everyone's probably going to sign up for that. But
do you watch any of the first four?
Not really.
Exactly.
That
to me is where, because that's what this sounds like. This is an expansion of your first four turns into the first 8, and those days there's just more games. Those that Monday and Tuesday before the official bracket starts on Thursday and Friday. That to me, I don't have interest in. You know, to go watch. No offense, but they come to mind to go watch Texas Southern play against like Arizona State in a first four game. I don't care. Like, if they change, they can sell me on this if they change the way they do it. If you remove the mid-major schools from these first games and allow them to just be in the tournament, and it's like, it's Syracuse versus Georgia. It's, you know, if those are the teams that are fighting for the 11 seed. If you make it that, you can sell me on this.
That's a good idea.
But I think it is so stupid to put a mid-major conference champion in these first four games or first 8 games. That, to me, is where this is dumb. If you want to expand it the other way, my way, you can probably sell me on this.
I think there was one a couple of years ago. It was Syracuse TCU.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's two schools that – I mean, Syracuse has a pretty big college basketball fan base nationally. But as far as TCU, too, yeah, that's two good-sized schools that are in there. I agree. When it's two randos, I'm probably not going to get excited for it yet. I will say I don't really go out of my way to watch college basketball these days in the same way I used to. Like, I'll watch the Cougs. That's pretty much it, and I'm glad that they're finally in a conference that's good, at least for now, with how college sports landscapes and all the conferences still continue to be changing. But that's apparently a possibility. The NCAA tournament might expand to 72 or 76 teams. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros are up 1-0 on the Chicago White Sox. Not a lot of scoring in this series, thanks to a Yordan Alvarez home run. Coming up next, oh boy, we got ourselves quite the scandal in baseball. We haven't had time to get to it to this point, but I really do wonder if this scandal will ultimately lead to the downfall of human society. I'll explain why next. Stick around.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.